What's poppin'? Yeah. I'll tell you what's poppin'. Trudy is eating up a storm right now. Oh, my God. This is the most famished person that's ever entered my home. Fortunately, the dogs were able to bark when the pizza delivery guy came.
Yeah.
Although there were two false alarms. Jay came, Joe came. Trudy's right. Running up the stairs.
It did look like desperation, right?
You seem... I've never seen you this hungry.
I know.
It's very good. Thank you.
No, I haven't eaten for days. It's Primo's.
Yeah, Primo's.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that pizza was paid
really
for.
Is.
Not a free plug. We got everybody here today. Almost everybody. Mark, Trudy, Joe, Jay. And it's the Drew and Mike podcast for Thursday. And let's see. Besides the pizza, which has been the overwhelming story so far today. That Milwaukee cop has been charged, which, you know, he'll probably be found not guilty. That's going to be the real bummer is when that happens.
I don't know. You think so?
Mark, the guy in South Carolina's hung jury.
Yeah.
How in the fuck did that happen?
Except this guy allegedly chased him.
It's a bad case. I mean, it's definitely a bad case. But
and this cop's black. Well, I think that might matter.
And he was black.
I'm a cop, you idiot.
Oh, did you see Arnold on Today Show, by the way?
No.
Arnold's on Today. We should watch it.
What did he say?
He's yeah. He's talking with The Apprentice. He says one of our drops actually comes
he
out
does?
Of his mouth. Yeah.
Really?
Which one it is.
Okay.
No, it's not that.
Is it?
Good morning.
Yes.
It's not good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I know what it is. He looked at who interviewed him?
Lauer.
What do you say? I hope you live in the room for my fist because I'm going to ram it in your stomach.
Not quite. Jay?
Stop whining.
Who's your daddy and what is he doing?
He did say stop whining. He did.
Did he really?
Did
he
see it? Yeah, I remember that. He did. He said stop whining.
Stop it.
He says they need to stop whining. He was talking about the election.
Really?
Yeah. So.
He looked like he'd eaten some really salty food the night before and was retaining water in his eyes.
He has been retaining
weird.
Water.
Yeah, he looks
yes.
kind of bizarre.
Yes.
Stop whining.
It's pretty clear he dyes his hair, too.
Yes.
I would say.
Yes.
You son of a bitch.
Might have said that, too. Anyway, it's cool to see Arnold. And, of course, mm-hmm. your preface. And I don't think Donald Trump is going to be doing a lot of executive producing.
Mm.
I think
no.
it's just a title. Trump, by the way...
Until it airs in Russia.
Trump just killed me today, though. The Vanity Fair is ragging out the Trump grill at Trump Tower.
Yeah. Right.
And so Trump, of course, goes nuts on Vanity Fair. Let me see. What do you say? Has anyone seen Vanity Fair's numbers lately? Way down. Big trouble. Dead. And then about the editor, he said... What? No talent. We'll be out.
What numbers? Circulation?
I guess circulation. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, that's a Trump fact. No background. No, it's not cited or anything.
But you have to love that your president is reaming out Vanity Fair.
Well, he's got a...
And its editor. No talent. We'll be out.
What's that editor's name?
We'll be out.
I don't know. I don't even know.
That
know
editor is...
Graydon Carter.
Graydon Carter. Yeah, he's the guy that pointed out...
Trudy, how do you know the editor of Vanity Fair's name?
I don't know.
It's
ridiculous.
Smart. Because she's got pizza power in her now. She's not famished anymore.
Trudy may be at a real high level today.
But that's the guy that pointed out his tiny hands. And so Trump would circle in a gold pen anytime his hands were printed in a magazine and send it to him to prove that his hands are not tiny.
Funny. That's funny, though.
This could be a real fun 4 years.
I don't know.
He can't hurt us that badly, can he?
Well,
yeah, I don't think he
seriously.
Can. I don't think so. I don't
Once
know. I swear.
Become president.
Depends what you do.
I don't think the president can make that big a difference. I hate to say that because it implies that the president sucks or is ineffectual. But
there are executive orders.
Well,
as far as the economy, no, not really.
What about the Carl's Jr. guy who's going to be in the cabinet?
Oh, the commerce guy who repeated the Romney 47%.
Is that what we're talking about? The guy who's the owner of Carl's Jr.
and
Hardee's?
Yeah, he's the Secretary of Labor.
Okay.
Is that what he's
going to
be?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, it's not the same guy. The Commerce guy, the Commerce nominee is under fire because he repeated the Mitt Romney 47%. Or he,
did he?
No, he didn't repeat it, but he kind of agreed with it and said, well, have you seen the food stamp numbers? And he also said something about how how many unemployed people are on disability. And this looked like an old tape to me. I don't think it was like yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
But and to be honest, I wonder what that 47%, that number comes from people that don't pay federal income tax, I believe Mitt Romney was claiming at the time.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I'd love to know what that number is, because I don't think it's a low number.
No,
I don't think Romney was off by that much, but apparently you can't say that.
Well,
the federal the income tax doesn't mean that they're not paying taxes. They pay other kind of taxes.
Probably not paying a lot of tax.
I don't have a lot of money.
Well, neither does Donald Trump. So.
Well, but a lot of people are getting, yeah. I don't like the idea of 47%. If that number was correct, the idea of that many people not paying any federal income tax, that's kind of disturbing. Either something is really wrong with the income distribution, or a lot of people are just paying nothing.
Well, who are these people? How are they getting away with it? Because I need to know.
Probably is both.
With income distribution.
But there were a lot of people making $70,000, $80,000 not paying any income tax because they had tax credits.
Mm-hmm. What?
And the number of people on food stamps, I think it was like 1.25 at one time.
I got to get on those.
Yeah, no, you might have a shot with a kid now. No telling.
You think I'm joking?
Can you check reviews for Trump Grill?
Curious. You know, the problem is, Trudy and I were looking at this before, is that everybody's a comedian.
Oh.
Because it's Trump Grill. You know, it's Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. So before this even happened.
They're not legit.
Nobody.
Reviews.
They're all like that.
Well, I organized them by date, you know, to go back before he ran
for
president.
A step ahead of me.
The problem is, and I'm going to sneeze in a second, I think, but the problem is that there's a lot of reviews from 2011 when the birther movement was going on. So there's a bunch of joke reviews then.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But there's like this one. Now, this is 2009. On December 8, 2009, my friend and I had lunch at the Trump Grill. I had the lobster club sandwich. All four pieces of bread were burnt. When I showed it to the waiter, he said, "Oh, sorry." Guess he was too busy watching the Donald, who sat a couple tables over, and his son was at the next table. Needless to say, I did not go back there.
Scathing.
That one star?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How do you burn lobster? Who burns
the
lobster?
The toast on the lobster club. Who burns toast?
Well, that's pretty lame.
Toaster.
One star. Attracted to the prefix menu, $20. We have to be honest. We have to honestly say that it was ridiculously overpriced for below average food. Husband had the marinated chicken sandwich. Marinated in what? Two question marks. And I had the horribly overcooked hamburger. The brownie a la mode was a joke. One bite size. Trump should be ashamed of himself.
Ooh, shame on you, Trump. Shame on you, Trump.
As if Trump has any say.
Yeah, he's the cook. He's the sous chef.
Well, Inside Edition, Inside Edition went in there to eat following this Vanity Fair thing.
Oh, yeah.
They were very happy with their meal.
Well, good.
Yeah, they don't want to be attacked.
The comments were a little over the top, but I don't know. Maybe his meal was that bad.
This one.
How do you fuck up chocolate cake?
It's pretty hard.
I don't know.
What else? Oh, filet mignon.
This one says, "This is a fancy IHOP restaurant. Nothing more."
Well, I love IHOP.
Well, now this is a fancy one.
I'll probably like it a lot.
One star. Service was so-so. Lunch was not worth $100. The pasta portion was smaller than appetizer size. My hamburger came out on a supermarket hamburger bun. How embarrassing. You would think Trump could afford a nice bakery bun, not Wonder Bread.
Wow.
We had a dinner from IHOP last night. The last two nights, I had a dinner from IHOP.
Really?
Yeah, because they're in the restaurant connection. Uh-huh. So, you know, if you want it delivered, you can get dinner from IHOP. But I always
pancakes?
Get pancakes? Yeah, I got pancakes, scrambled eggs.
Oh, my God.
Trudy, you're still hungry. God, amazing.
Joey, Trudy needs more pizza. Joey's in the pizza room.
I love pancakes and waffles.
Oh. Yeah, the pancakes were great.
I bet. Oh, man.
Actually, all of it was great. The hash browns were great. And crepes with raspberries and ice cream for dessert was excellent.
Nice having
I might order again tonight.
Nice having dessert after you ate pancakes.
Pancakes are not dessert, though. That's part of a meal.
Okay.
It was dinner, Mark. I mixed two meals. I mixed dinner and breakfast. It just so happened that dessert was a part of dinner I used.
and a thinner pancake.
And raspberries are pretty healthy.
Yeah. Especially when they're mashed up with sugar and syrup.
They're the best that way.
It was a good dinner.
Hey, whatever. You're happy. That's what matters.
It was good.
Yeah, just let him be happy.
I am. I'm happy for him. The food looked good when I was leaving.
It was excellent. It really was. I seriously made order for the third night in a row. The only thing holding me back is the embarrassment of Restaurant Connection knowing that I ordered from IHOP three nights
in a
row.
Oh, they don't care.
I don't know. It was the same person last night that took my order, and so I was kind of felt a little sheepish.
Isn't it part of the surcharge, the anonymity and silence? They're not allowed to repeat your order to people?
Are they like a doctor's office?
Yeah. They take an oath.
Should be.
Huh. I don't know what oath.
The Hippocratic Oath should be transferable to restaurants, in my opinion.
Just disguise your voice when you order.
Except they go by my phone number.
Yeah.
And they have my credit card on file.
Use Jay's phone and order it to the house next door.
The thought.
Then run out and intercept him.
Was watching the news before we got started. There were two items on the news we wanted to just throw out there just for S&G. This was, this isn't really an S&G thing. This was a story about the CEO of, let's see, is it Ford?
Henry Ford, right? The
Henry Ford Hospital something. And she's retiring.
She wrote a book.
Henry Ford Health System. Yeah, she's writing a book and... it's quite a story because she's a lesbian and, you know, climbing the CEO ladder as a lesbian. Yeah. Doesn't seem like a big deal right now.
That'd be the only reason to read that book, really.
I have to tell you, I thought to myself, how many people are going to buy that book?
Nobody.
And I thought, the lesbian story is probably very interesting.
The most interesting part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Paula Tubman was all in on it.
Oh, yeah. No, so was Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Is a powerful woman in healthcare, the outgoing CEO of the
she
Henry Ford Health
powerful,
System.
Doesn't she?
As she prepares to retire, she's sharing very personal stories, including the moment her daughter is a lesbian, which happened in a very public way.
Oh, did you hear that?
She was in a dialysis unit.
Her mother.
In the hospital I used to run in Akron, Ohio, and she screamed as loud as she could in front of all the staff who knew me. That nothing would appall me more than if you're a lesbian.
Whoa!
Wait, her mother?
Her mother screams in dialysis in front of all her employees, nothing would appall me more than if you're a lesbian. And this is in front of people she was working with for a long time.
Oh, geez, pick your battles.
Can you imagine being one of the other people that was in dialysis that day that's just sitting here watching this lady yell at her daughter about being a lesbian?
He's so awkward.
I know. Well, how about the people that work for her?
They probably knew.
I'm sure they did. They probably felt like shit.
Nice mom. Mom! Don't be outing me at work, Mom!
What a drag.
Now that was a turning point, and Schlechting recently sat down with our Paula Tubman for a candid talk about her journey, struggling for acceptance.
I do take exception with one thing in this story.
The word journey?
No.
When I was chief operating officer of Riverside Methodist Hospital.
Nancy Schlechting, chief executive.
Oh, well, I took exception to it. I never expected to see, when they were pointing out that she got gay married.
Yeah.
And they showed the two dudes making out. I would have never dreamed that I would see those two dudes make out in my lifetime.
That was pretty hot.
I just saw those two dudes. I go, I would think the chances I'm going to see those guys make out is so small.
Gay!
And yet, I saw them make out.
That's
funny. See what I'm talking about.
Okay.
What were you going to say, Mark?
Well, go ahead. I'll point it out. The
officer
part
of Henry Ford Health System reads to a huge crowd from her new book, Unconventional.
Would you ever describe that crowd as huge?
No, never.
That's what I took exception to.
There's like 20 people?
20 people. Yeah. No, not huge. Sorry. That's the only problem I have with the story.
Why did she say that? A huge crowd?
I don't know. Actually,
it's really
go
odd.
Go back. I want to count how many people are there.
I mean, it's extremely verifiable that it's a small crowd.
But
whole room.
Maybe Tutman has a low bar for what she describes as huge.
When I was chief operating officer.
Was there part of the room we can't see?
No.
Methodist Hospital.
Nancy Schlechting, chief executive officer of Henry Ford Health System, reads to a huge crowd from.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
It's like 15 on one side and 15
on
the other.
About 30. 30, maybe 35.
Is it possible that room goes back another 800 feet?
Why would you build a room like that?
800 feet.
It would be a very odd configuration for a room.
900 by 12?
Yes. It's already an odd room.
This guy's not even paying attention.
Yeah, one guy's crashed.
That table's empty.
They look like they're being forced to be there for some reason.
Maybe, probably.
Yeah. A huge crowd. And I don't know about this video presentation either.
There's just a
blue square on the screen.
The screen of death.
Her new book, Unconventional Leadership. But she is not reading a bedtime story.
An anonymous letter was sent to the CEO of the health system and all of the trustees of the hospital.
There's the back of the room.
Essentially, it said, congratulations on hiring a lesbian to run your hospital.
What? She's reading one of the most painful chapters of her life, the day she was outed as being gay and forced to leave her career.
It was the worst time in my life in a number of ways. My mother was dying of cancer. I'd left a job I loved, and I was forced to abandon my career aspirations simply because I was gay.
So she was blown out.
See, that's what I want to know. Why she got fired strictly for being gay?
Sound like it to me.
Gay! That's ridiculous.
Either that or she resigned.
Great human resources, Riverside Hospital, Columbus.
Nice person to write the letter, though, to the board or whatever. Saying, oh, congratulations, her lesbian.
Not gay. Only that outing her, they're doing it in a very snarky way yeah. by giving them congratulations.
God, people are assholes.
People are the worst sometimes.
But I wouldn't change what happened in Columbus because it is part of what made me who I am today.
She was a junior at Duke University to make out. When she figured it out. It was as simple as it was complicated. She fell in love with a woman.
I was a closeted lesbian. I did not ever tell anyone, including my family. I remember going to one of the Duke bookstores and looking for some literature, some book on being gay, and there was one book, but it was extremely secretive.
Well, isn't it kind of freaky, though, when you check out and you buy the book and they go, oh, what are we buying that for?
That's for my sister.
Were you thinking that, though, when she was talking
about
Yeah.
Well, or how she had to hide it wherever wherever mom came over. Yeah, she might have just picked up.
That really blows.
You know, you certainly didn't do things out in the open.
Keep in mind, this is before the days of gay pride and talk of tolerance.
There's a lot of self-doubt. There's a lot of feelings about, acceptance and, understanding that you probably will never get married in your life. You'll probably never have children in your life.
But for sure, the seemingly impossible was achieved on a day she vividly remembers.
Congratulations.
The day the Supreme Court upheld the right for gays to marry.
Did you ever see those guys make out?
No.
No. Marry the woman.
Oh, those chicks either.
When that Supreme Court decision came through, I thought, oh my goodness. How amazing. I think probably
I thought she was holding her earrings in her hand there. Yeah. It's like, do those look like rings?
Her wife's pretty
really
cute.
Kind of big.
Yeah, her wife's kind of hot.
Greatest feeling of support and acceptance I had was when my partner,
suppose she's
and I
a cold
got married.
Everything had become possible when you grew up gay and survived it in corporate America.
My sexuality is part of who I am, but it doesn't define me.
What's going on there?
There's so many things that I think. all the ingredients. That
was it a conga line? What the hell was that?
And it's
our families.
Slide.
It's our
never seen that.
Education. It's our experiences.
People bust
life.
Into that.
It's the things we overcome. You have no idea what you can do in your life. And I didn't.
She really did. And her resume is simply too long to list. But let's do some of the highlights. I mean, providing health care for homeless, gay.
I was going to let Paula get off there, but enough.
We got it. The lady's great. She wrote a book and read it to a huge audience.
I think she was blown out of that
huge
job.
Audience.
Yeah, no, it really sounds
sounded like it.
That sucks.
That's the hospital where Joey was born.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Riverside.
Wait, I wonder if that's where I was born.
In Columbus?
Yeah.
Oh.
Find out.
Wow. Mom! Okay, should we do the Inside Edition story while we're at it?
Yes, I could not stop laughing watching it.
Oh, I told P-Quality.
Oh, stop the press.
Is it time?
Yeah, I told him 7:15.
The product is called...
P-Quality. P-Quality, like equality.
This is a product that will allow women to pee standing up.
Yes.
We could not resist such a product. How exciting is this?
You get to, take all sorts of liberties like dudes do, and then you don't have to also, hover over.
Well, it should be faster, too. I would think that would be
a
huge aspect.
For sure,
I'm just wondering how many chicks are going... God, if I could only pee standing up, jeez.
Well, I'll let him tell you, but enough have actually thought that.
If only I could shit standing up, too.
Nobody does that.
Oh. But if you could, though.
It could be a trailblazer.
Oh, no, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of videos of people who do that, where they're walking through some place covertly, just go.
What's that great video of the guy in the parking garage? He's shitting standing
they
up.
They walk, too. They keep walking.
That's right.
That's an amazing talent.
He wiped his ass with a fist.
What'd you say, Joe?
I mean, I can't believe that video has gotten brought up twice in
today.
The last half hour.
What did I miss?
Right before you came down, we were talking about Mark's favorite YouTube videos, and I made sure he included that one in there.
You reminded me that's my second favorite video of all time. Number one being the guy that fell up the escalator.
Yeah, that's pretty
and
incredible.
And I asked Joe if he remembers what my favorite video was, because there's a new video of somebody falling, going up the up escalator.
A guy's name is Alex, by the way.
Alex is who we're going to talk to?
Yeah.
Cool.
Alex.
Oh, I wonder if she's ever seen that video.
I'm glad you keep track, Trudy. I had no idea it was already time for that. Look at that. We're probably late, aren't we?
No, I told you 7:15.
Oh, excellent.
Ooh. I have a problem with how much this thing costs.
Wow, where'd you find this tune, Jay? On the party. Sweet.
The Pee Quality theme song.
I can pee and poop on the party.
Yeah. Alex.
Yes,
hey. Hey, how's it going?
Good. It's our podcast here in Michigan calling Drew and Mark and Trudy, who you talked to earlier.
Yep.
How you doing?
Hey, doing really well. What about yourself?
We're doing fine, and we're fascinated by this product and this concept, and we're dying to know what the market research is on. Did you guys do a bunch of research to find out that women, if they could just stand up peeing, they would do it, if there was just a way? Mm-hmm.
If only there was a way. Well, today there is a way, and it's called Pee Quality, and we are encouraging everyone to stand up for it, changing the lives of women everywhere.
Changing the lives of women? No kidding. What, because they have more time?
No.
Because they don't have to go in a stall and...
Well, no, not...
God knows what goes on in there.
Let's face it, even in salaries today, women get paid less than men, and so... For the longest time, women have been told to sit down when they pee, and, you know, I just won't stand for that anymore. So I knew I had to create a business to change that.
Okay,
just
so...
It's a movement.
It sounds like it's a psychological thing as much as anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
We can write our names in the snow.
Now
do that
now. Write your name in the snow. The future is here.
At last.
What? I mean, seriously, though, did you do research and find out that, you know, 50% of women wish they could pee standing up?
No, I didn't do any research. I just bought a product.
That's how I go into business. Just, you got a hunch, yeah. You got to go with it. Right?
That's right. I saw the concept online from a Chinese manufacturer and decided to order a bunch for myself. And I saw it and I just knew that this was the future for women and for all of mankind.
Oh, I hope you had a hell of a piss.
That's cool, because usually the Chinese see what we make and then they copy it.
Right.
But this time we did it in reverse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But was it called, was the concept Pee Quality sort of originated by you then? I love the idea, Pee Quality.
That's the brand that I started behind the whole movement. like I said, Pee Quality is there for you wherever you go, literally.
But you have to, stop and fix this in some way, right?
Oh, totally. So, the process would be that, excuse me. You'd have to pull down your pants, obviously, install the Pee Quality on your area.
Alex, can't you just add like an elastic strap so you can just wear it literally whip it out like a guy does?
Well, that might be
you
in
attach
a
dildo to it, too.
Product
well,
roadmap.
Phallic,
yeah,
use one later.
You never know. This is just the Pee Quality X. We have many big plans for Pee Quality Y and Pee Quality Z.
It's funny. We've interviewed this years ago. We interviewed somebody that made like the cone, which was very similar. You know, you could pee standing up.
Oh, is it called the cone?
I think so.
I remember that.
But this is different because this is very phallic at the end. It goes out maybe like four or five. How far does it go out from the vag?
It goes about 6 inches out. About average size.
What's average?
Average of what?
Five.
Average penis size?
How much research did you do for that, Alex?
It looks like it's manufactured in China.
Oh.
Oh.
Did you?
Because so what average penis size is, you know, in different places, right?
That's different.
Well, China might be a little smaller.
Whoa, come on now.
Well, that looks like it's significant
making
anyway.
Him say it, Trudy.
I just wonder, the affixing part. Are women going to want to do the affixing part, in the open? Because we're talking about moving women from stalls to urinals, basically, right?
Yeah.
Well, Pee Quality actually is giving women the freedom to pee wherever they want to, just like a man can, whether that's behind a dumpster or in a dark alleyway or on a bush. this is giving a woman a free choice to make her decision about how she uses her body.
I have to admit, there have been moments in my life where women have expressed their jealousy because, you know, whether you're
awesome.
Stuck in a car in traffic and you have to go and a gal just get out and go behind a bush or whatever.
Right, yeah.
I do it when I come home sometimes. I'd rather pee outside than inside. Well, I'm not joking.
If I let the dogs out and I'm on the deck at midnight or something, well, why
it's
not?
Great.
Why should I go to the bathroom? Doing that? Because I always thought that was...
It's serious.
Yes, you're going to start doing that.
That was dick behavior. But
there's something refreshing about it when the wind hits it.
Really?
You feel like a caveman.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to get that effect out of it. But
hey, Alex, why purple? Why not flesh color?
Just because that's part of our brand, is the purple.
Oh.
Our boxes come very colorful. They're full of color, purple and white, and we just all part of our branding.
And there was no market research done to pick that color, was there?
No, that's the only one that Chinese manufacturers sold, actually.
I didn't really
have a choice.
How many have you sold, Alex?
Sold over a little bit, I think over 500 right now. Mm-hmm. I launched the website on Tuesday, so we've done about $7,000 in sales. Mm.
So do you have about maybe 5,000 of these pea quality things in your basement right now?
I have them on route to my house because I had to order a ton more because the demand was so high.
Wow. What do you have to pay for this, for the right to pee standing up?
So a pee quality costs $14.99 plus $3.99 shipping. But a dollar of that proceed actually goes to support Equality Now, which is a nonprofit organization that promotes the equality of girls and women around the world.
Oh.
Hmm. Oh, very cool.
Join a pee quality march where we all wear our pee qualities.
That's right.
Wherever we want.
Stand up for it.
Are these dishwashers safe?
They are, yes.
They are, really?
Now, are you going to advertise
top rec?
Oh, success stories. I see. We're just looking at the the people on the website, the endorsements. Yeah. Julie S. says, when I drink too much, I pee too much. Now I can go whenever my pee quality or wherever my pee quality goes. Regina M. says, easy, reliable, and incredibly convenient. The world is my toilet with pee quality.
Oh, the world's my toilet.
Ugh. I think these people have been given the verbiage here. I question the authenticity of these endorsements, Alex.
Alex, are they Getty Images?
Yeah, I know.
Well, did you see the last one? That's probably just sells everyone on pee quality.
Oh, the Cheryl B?
Story.
My husband Todd is constantly peeing on the toilet seat. Game on, Todd! Outstanding. Yeah. So,
pretty good stuff. It's been fun. It's been a wild ride.
Have you quit your day job yet, Alex?
No. So I'm still working my day job. I just do these little e-commerce business on the side and just do it for fun, make a little side cash, even though sometimes they make more money than my actual job.
What is your actual job?
I work at a mobile app agency in Dallas.
Huh. Oh, okay.
Oh, so he makes phone apps.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably for radio stations, like, right?
What's that?
Probably like the ones for radio stations, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We work with a lot of big-name brands and media companies building their mobile solutions.
Huh. That sounds like a very typical millennial. You're a millennial, aren't you?
I am a millennial. It's actually my 26th birthday today.
So happy birthday.
I'm doing a little celebrating and shipping some pea qualities and living the dream.
What a
time to be alive.
That is the coolest thing to imagine, celebrating your birthday by giving women the right to stand up and pee. It's awesome.
Yeah, I get a little choked up when I think about it, actually. Changing the world.
So what would happen if you were to sell, if sales continue the way they are, could this become your full-time occupation?
Probably not. I don't know. It might just be like a fad. I know a lot of people are buying them right now, mostly for...
stocking stuffers?
For Christmas. Yeah, stocking stuffers.
What a lovely
a lot of
stocking
men buying
stuffer.
Them for their wives.
Their wives. Be quiet, honey.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty cool. $14.99. Is there anything else people need to know before they order their pee quality?
The only thing they need to know is stand up for it.
Okay.
Stand up for it.
So it's a pretty strong slogan.
It's got a
warranty.
Jay? Oh, yeah. Is it got a warranty?
Money back guarantee?
Yes, it has a lifetime warranty.
I think you just made that up, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
How did I know that? I saw right through it. And I don't care because I don't think anybody's gonna return one. I highly doubt it.
I don't think so. Once you have one, you're gonna
buy one.
Use it for life.
Yeah.
Okay, and the website is
equality.com.
And that's P-E-E quality, correct? Q-U-A-L-I-T-Y. Okay, cool. Well, hey, good luck with it, man. You sounds like you've really got an opportunity to change the world here, and I'm excited for you.
He was on Shark Tank.
Hey, we're changing the world.
He was on Shark Tank?
What?
Yeah.
What really? How'd it go on Shark Tank?
Yeah, what'd Cube say?
So I didn't go on Shark Tank, actually, for P-Quality. I went on for another business I started last year. It was called potatoparcel.com. It was a way that you could send anyone you know a completely anonymous message written on a potato. And so that whole thing went viral.
What? Oh, my God. But this is so
potato.
Stupid.
Oh, potato.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's okay. So stupid. I'm glad you made money on
it. $500,000, right?
Wait, did one of the guys in Shark Tank buy into it?
Yeah, we got a deal with Kevin O'Leary.
No way. Kevin?
Yeah.
Wow, he's the toughest of them all.
Wonderful.
And he made a lot of money on it.
Yeah. So in the 18 months that Potato Parcel has been live, the site's done a little over $500,000.
And how much did Kevin make?
$450,000.
Kevin took 10%.
10%. Okay. 50 grand. Yeah. Not bad. Did he really help you a lot, or was he almost impossible to get a hold of?
Well, so I actually don't own the business anymore, so... the new owner actually works directly with Kevin and his team, so I'm just more of like the founder who started it. I actually started it, kind of made it go viral, and then cashed out like 6 months in.
Wow.
Are you on the board of Potato Parcel?
I am, actually, yeah. I used to be the chief potato officer, but no longer.
What a wheeler dealer.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's cool, though. Because I always wonder on Shark Tank, when you see these people and, you know, the sharks are so excited about it, and they sign up, and this big hug, and they're almost crying, and then I figure... They probably call him like once every few months for 5 minutes, and they're like, "Oh, I'm really busy. I gotta go. I'll see you."
Yeah.
I'm sure that's the case.
Yeah. And Mark Cuban never.
Cube seems.
Oh yeah.
He seems.
We're trying to get Cuban, but
yeah,
trying to get the deal. Yeah, you guys should check out the episode. It aired on October 28th, so last month or a couple months ago.
Cool. All right.
Wow.
Yeah, we're
exciting
dressed
stuff,
up as potatoes, and we look like complete jackasses. So.
Did they laugh at the presentation though? Did you get a good laugh?
Oh, yeah, we got a lot of good laughs.
That always helps. All right.
Thanks, definitely. Alex.
Thanks, Alex. Great stuff,
yeah,
buddy. Good luck
guys.
With it. Okay.
Yeah, pequality.com. Stand up for it.
Got it.
Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Alex from pequality.com. And that's Shark Tank. That's funny. Don't you wonder how much, because they act as if they spend like half their time with these new businesses, and I so doubt it.
No, they don't. No.
But they have a lot of great stories. They do. They have a follow-up show sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've got people that do that, right? They're just the, yeah.
Well, there are those success stories, no doubt. I mean, there's some really good stuff going on that show.
Yeah.
Are you a fan?
Yeah.
I watch it a lot. I love that show.
Yeah. I can't believe some of the ideas people bring there. That's the best one. It's like American Idol at the beginning, right?
Yeah,
I think hacks are on.
So. I think that show was way overdue because everybody has had an idea, you know, for that one thing that I could make millions doing that if I only knew how. And
some are really brilliant. Too.
Evidently,
I'm looking at this potato thing. It comes with a warning: you're not supposed to eat the potato. It says warning: do not eat this potato. Potato Parcel is not liable for any illness if the potato is.
It has.
Well, it's for the message.
Yeah, written on it.
Well, you can still peel it off and eat the potato, can't you?
No.
Why not?
Yeah. That's what the warning's all about, Mark. Because it's been in the mail for a few days. It's got scummy germs on it.
That's how you cook it.
It's kind of novel, though, that he comes up with something that gets attention. And
Jay just brought up the presentation. Should we watch it?
Oh, okay.
Just for a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's so incredible.
Next into the tank is a business that delivers an unusual twist
the potato
to a common
business.
Product.
Dramatic.
Dressed as potatoes with sunglasses. Cubes is laughing.
Hi, Sharks. My name is Alex Craig.
Hey, there's our guy.
And I'm Riyadh Beckett. Our company is seeking $50,000 in exchange for 10% equity in our business.
Look, Sharks, over the years, you've heard all types of elaborate, intricate, and over-the-top pitches. Well, we're here to keep it simple, so let's take this pitch back to our roots.
Sharks, our company is Potato Parcel, and we mail potatoes, and that's it.
Any questions?
Maybe too simple. Explain it again.
So, Potato Parcel is a brand new way of sending anyone you know a custom message written on a potato.
It's just stupid on a stick. Right?
It's actually stupid
on a potato. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
This is a potato company?
Yes, this is a potato.
Oh, I thought the outfit was a pair of testicles.
What?
Huh? Oh, yeah, the two guys.
It's deep.
Well, it's getting big guffaws from the Sharks.
I want to send somebody a message. You're going to write on potato for me?
Yes.
So how much does it cost me to do that?
Wait a minute. We need our samples.
Let's start with the samples.
How are we talking about something where we don't even know?
Okay, I'm sold. It comes in a bubble. That's enough.
Yeah, I mean, that happens, what, like, it pops, you know, those kinds of things pop up around Christmas time frequently.
Yeah.
You saw The Rock. The leather pouch for the rock sold out.
Nordstrom.
Yeah. Did you see that, Drew?
I did not.
Nordstrom's was selling in their catalog. It's just a rock in a leather pouch, a handmade leather pouch.
And
I forgot how much. Do you remember how much they charged for it?
I thought it was 200.
It was super expensive. Something. Sold out.
And they
out
have
in
no
time.
Explanation for why.
People
it just, is.
Just bought it.
It just went viral, mainly because people were going, this is bullshit. And then, of course, it sells out in no time.
I know.
Oh, my God.
People.
Your potato got like lost in the mail or delayed.
Yeah, then it gets rotten and everything stinks.
Well, it's a good question. But nobody would know because they don't know they're getting a message. Only the person sending it, except the person sending it will ask them if they. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but you can't say, hey, did you get potato in the mail?
Spoil it.
Right. Set up years ago.
Well, whatever. I think P Quality is a better product myself.
Yeah.
And actually, is his whole point just to sell it for Christmas and then he's done?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
To get attention.
I feel a little bit sucked in.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's all right. No, it's all on the basis of is it entertaining minute by minute? That's all that matters.
Well, when I first heard about it, I was like, yeah, I want one of those. And I was really excited. So that's what they're trading on is that whole thing that's funny.
Oh, I'm sure if they sell that many of them.
And I did buy one.
Could have. You did
buy one?
Wow.
I thought it would get me access.
Are you going to use it on Facebook Live? From behind?
I thought it would get me access to the company because I was having a hard time pinning him down.
But. And
nice.
It
Trudy took
it
one
worked.
For the team.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to write it off.
You're on an amazing spending spree today. Quality pizza. You're just consuming like a mad woman.
You can write off the pizza, too.
I can. You're right.
That's true. Yeah. Dinner for the podcast. A lot of tax activity. A lot of stuff going on here. Mark, did you understand? Well, Trudy, you were watching it too. There was a story on Fox 2 about Bazzi Tire and their American flags, and the city inspectors came by and made them take it down. What was the deal?
Well, it sounds, it depends what side you want to look at it, but from the tire guy, it sounds like he's kind of being harassed by this inspector because he's kind of gone after them before. But it sounds like the flags weren't up to code.
That's probably, you're probably right.
Flags that aren't up to code.
I think he was getting harangued by some. It sounded like he was getting harangued by somebody because the guy next door had a flag flying. And I mean, really, is that what city inspectors are supposed to do? Are we supposed to bother people about little shit like that?
Of course not.
And plus, the American flag.
I think that was kind of Bazzi Tire's point. It's like it's Christmas. They were all Christmas flags, right?
It was an American flag.
So it's kind of like, come on, man, it's Christmas. It'll be gone in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty shitty.
What city?
Detroit.
That was Detroit.
Detroit. Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did look like they were just being given a bad time. You know what, though? Have you ever had an inspector come over, like the guy that's supposed to look at the water and whether it's hooked up right and all that
stuff? Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They are so famously sour people.
I would have to.
They're unimpressible.
Not in Berkeley.
Oh, they're good? Oh.
I don't want to agree because I deal with inspectors.
Oh,
we do deal with
inspectors. Yeah, I see.
But there have been a couple that surprised me how intense they were about.
Very.
Like, really?
They're doing their job. They're very serious about their job.
Yeah.
They just want to put in a water heater.
Right. No. But they're very humorless. So, which, by the
way,
I had
a very, very humorless inspector in West Bloomfield. Very, very humorless.
Think of some of the people they have to deal with.
I suppose.
Well, you know, in West Bloom, that was the first time I really ran into it because that was about 12 years ago before we got into this crazy property management thing. And we were just putting adding a room to the house. And so the guy that was doing the work had put a ladder. It was not a big ladder. It was like probably 5 or 6 steps to get to the area to look at it. And the inspector kind of gave him this, look, if you don't, and he had left the wall intact that was going to be opened up to this room. It was going to be basically we're creating what was the a bedroom was going to become sort of a suite area for a larger master bedroom. Yeah. And so that wall was still intact because he figured, well, I might as well leave you with that room as long as I can, you know, until I have to knock it down to create the big mess before he finished.
Of course.
And so the inspector just said, you know, if you don't knock that wall down in 10 minutes, then I'm out of here and you're not getting approval. Yeah, because he didn't want to climb up a ladder. Well, yeah, all it needed was a, you know, just hit it with a sledgehammer. And the wall was going to...
He didn't want to climb the ladder. Space.
He didn't want to climb the ladder,
oh,
basically.
Oh, what a baby.
Wow.
He's kind of a fat ass. So he knocked a hole in the wall.
Really?
And he walked in and looked at it and approved it, but... He was, and anyway,
he's
afterwards,
just exercising his power at that point.
Yeah,
that
time, right.
Huge. He was being a PHBH.
Yeah,
power hungry big head all the way.
Yeah.
So I remember after he left, I was like, "What was that all about?" And he said, "Oh well, you know, some of those guys don't get paid a lot of money, and they go to you know a lot of homes in West Bloom or whatever. Some people live pretty well, and I think it's their chance to sort of get back at people.
Oh,
right.
Well, wow, I didn't really think of it that way, but
yeah, well, they got you by the ball, so and they know it.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a power position, absolutely. Yeah. It's like I remember the first time I was audited, and Frank Audia from Plant Moran was kind of getting me ready for the audit. You know, here's what we have to do, and you know, this is what you don't want to talk about, and this is what you don't want to talk about. And we had this auditor, and she was very nice, but. There's just a concern that, you know, I was making a lot of money then.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of concerned, oh, is this an opportunity to get back at somebody? Ooh. And it turned out she was so cool that when we went back and he was like, I don't know what's going to happen here. She listened to the show for a week.
Oh, really?
She goes, I love your show.
Oh, nice.
And we thought, well, I don't want to speak for Frank, but she just didn't look like somebody who's going to listen to the show and fall in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
But she did. And she,
that's
and not
cool.
only that, she said, I can understand all these write-offs now. You're talking about the Red Wings game. And,
oh,
you know,
she's doing her due diligence,
and,
man.
Yeah,
she audited the show.
I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Frightening.
That's pretty incredible when you think about it. I mean, if that was doing her due diligence, which it kind of was in a way.
It was the week you were talking about all your purchases, I remember.
Yeah.
Every danger comes up. Well, I read this book.
Today we must talk about the U2 show I went to 6 months ago that we never talked about and never would.
And this is all the stuff I bought while I was at that show.
It was a very surprising development, to say the least. But I thought it was pretty cool, actually. I mean, it was kind of don't judge a book by its cover. That was the lesson that was learned, I like to say.
But it does suck sometimes, though, when that person's in a power position like that, and you just kind of have to kowtow because there's no...
Well, yeah, nobody...
Usually no recourse.
No one should have to kowtow to anybody. I mean, nobody should have to kiss anyone's ass. But when you're put in that position, it really is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
And when you're getting audited, it's a big bummer.
Ugh, boy. Well, there for the grace of God.
Yeah, Trudy, you've not been audited yet?
No, don't say that.
Yet.
Out loud.
You're only five audits behind me.
What?
No. I just figured everyone in radio got audited because they tend to have unreimbursed business expenses. That's what brings the flag up.
Right. And I don't do anything crazy. I mean, cable, which I watch TV for my job.
Oh, like,
how much do you write?
Wow, that's crazy. I'm kidding.
you wouldn't have cable without the job.
Cable, TiVo, movies, magazines, etc., right?
Talk about them at work, right?
Standard, yeah.
Well, on here. Have you seen any good movies lately, by the way? Period.
Right. God, I can't even think of the name of the one that I just watched, but it was on Apple TV, so it was...
Who was it? Who's in it? We'll figure it
Trudy's
out.
Been, we've really hit Trudy the hard one here.
Oh, pizza brain. Oh,
get him more
God.
Pizza power.
Well, Keanu. I watched that because we had Keegan-Michael Key.
Oh, Keanu. Every time I see that, I think, was this a Keanu Reeves documentary? What is this movie? What is that movie?
It's a Key and Peele movie.
Yeah. And they're,
they have to get back a kitty cat.
Yeah, they have a tiny little kitten, and it gets stolen by a drug ring, and they have to infiltrate the drug ring to get it back. So they have to, they're dorks, basically, and they have to act like badasses.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous premise, which I think they know it's a ridiculous premise,
yes.
Which is kind of the point.
Is this a movie for young children?
No.
Still watching movies for Joey?
It's a movie for potheads.
It's pretty funny, though, because...
Will Forte's in it.
Yeah, Will Forte.
Oh, well, it's got to be funny if Will Forte's in it. It's got to have some humor. Have you seen Hell or High Water?
No.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Why do I know that? What's Hell or High Water?
It's about shot in West Texas. These two guys are robbing banks.
Yeah, I really want to.
It was really good.
Yeah,
really. We talked about it the other day, but I just wondered if you'd seen it. How about, has anybody seen Francer Foster? Wait,
no.
Francis Foster. I saw it today.
Did you?
I did. It's not
did
bad.
You laugh?
Well, yeah. It's. I guess it's supposed
it's
to be a
true
comedy.
Story.
Yeah, it's a true story about this terrible opera singer, and basically.
Yeah.
The people around her kiss her ass and tell her how wonderful she is because she has money.
And she's awful.
Yeah, she's awful. And she gets to sing at Carnegie Hall one day.
Yeah.
And she, of course.
How'd she get there?
There's this concern about her getting horrible reviews. Anyway, it's Meryl Streep and Hugh Grant.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
that always helps to have Meryl Streep. Yeah. Who plays Frances Foster, whatever her name is.
Anybody want to go see Star Wars tonight?
Oh, right.
Yeah, we were talking about this. I
totally dropped the ball, I admit.
Is this going to be crazy like the usual Star Wars
Fuck
thing?
Yeah. It's gonna
it
be
is?
Massive.
I haven't heard that much about this movie compared to
Star Wars. Oh, man. It's going to be. I think it might be bigger than last year's, to tell you the truth.
Why? Why is this so big? Because
it's a new. I guess for a lot. How would you describe it? I guess it's a spinoff of Star Wars.
It's
really.
A prequel.
Yeah, but it's not really a prequel because it happens after Episode 3. So,
it's, you know, in the beginning
like
of the first
3.2.
The first Star Wars where they move, you know, that whole scroll
A New
of
Hope.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
happened
yeah.
and rebels stole the plans to the Death Star. They were the rebels who did that, you know, in the Luke Skywalker story was where that was revealed.
Yeah, that was Episode 4 where they revealed Luke. This new one is supposed to reveal Han.
Have you seen all these, Trudy?
No.
No. Oh, you know, she's not a
massive
fan. 1
and 2 and that's it. Yeah, no, I like the I like the original one. And
did you see the one that was out last year though?
I did
Part 7
with Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
did you
I thought it was really good. And I'm not a Star Wars fan.
It's a little predictable,
but and I needed some explanation as stuff was going on. Like, what's this? Who's he? But
it's a fun movie.
It was fun to look at.
Yeah,
it had enough going on. I mean, the effects.
Well, this is going to be movie. Like that, but with different characters. So
I'll probably want to see it then.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably dig it.
Oh, that's
actually.
One I saw. Magnificent Seven. God, that I blanked
on
that because.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No?
You know, I wanted to like it more. It was funny, and there was, and certainly action packed, and there were so many great actors.
Who's in it?
Well, Denzel is
okay.
is in it, and then Chris Pratt. And Ethan Hawke. I thought it was funny that had Denzel and Ethan Hawke.
I mean, that's
in the movie
an awesome
again.
Cast right there.
Yeah,
I would think
right.
it'd be a great movie, but it was not that great.
Yeah, and then Sergeant Private Pyle was in it. It was Private Pyle.
Oh, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Vincent D'Onofrio did not look like him at all. He
was bizarre
now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was kind of good, but and there were, you know, obviously the screenplay was beautiful, but
is Denzel Washington in a slump?
Well, I mean, only because we talked about that shitty drunk pilot movie yesterday.
Well, I'm just thinking those are the last two movies that I think about when I think of Denzel Washington. I'm trying to think of something I've seen since or between those.
Because
Trudy doesn't like this.
What's the one where he works at Home Depot?
Oh, yeah.
He's like a badass.
The Equalizer.
Equalizer.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
I liked that movie.
I have not. Yeah. Is that fairly new?
Yeah, I think it's fairly new. It's not horrible. It's not great, but it's
yeah,
not
that's. I think that's what I feel about The Magnificent Seven. It's not horrible. It's not great.
Oh, he has not been in much. Magnificent Seven, 2016, The
who
Equalizer.
Who else is in The Equalizer?
Who's the Russian guy that he gets in with? I don't really know many actors by their names, but he seems like he's a popular actor. He's like this Russian mobster.
Yeah, I don't know who that actor is either. But he's real. He's very intense, and it's a pretty good movie. You know,
I just love the idea of Denzel working at Home Depot.
I know,
that's pretty awesome.
True,
I'm honestly
looking at his
IMDb.
Yeah, and I can't tell you, American Gangster was okay.
Yeah.
What year was that?
2007.
Wait. How many movies has he done since American Gangster?
I'll go backwards. The Equalizer, Two Guns, never heard of it. Flight, that's the drunk pilot.
Right.
Sucked.
Safe House, Unstoppable. The Book of Eli.
Safe House is.
The Book of Eli's okay. It's kind of a post-apocalyptic movie.
That's how shallow I am. I liked Unstoppable.
What's
Unstoppable?
That was good.
When they're on the runaway train.
Oh,
a runaway train. It can't go anywhere but where the track goes.
True story.
Everybody get off the track.
Is Travolta in that movie? No.
Okay. No, but the other movie he's in.
He is in another movie that he's in.
The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Subway, yeah.
Wait, Denzel's done two train movies in the last 10 years?
And a plane? No,
that's weird.
That's ridiculous.
He's a new transportation actor.
You can't do two train movies. To do two in your whole career is out of hand.
Yeah.
That's true.
In my opinion.
That's true.
The Book of Eli, did you guys like that?
I didn't see it.
I thought that was okay. So
I'm answering my own question.
Though.
He is in a career slump.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He did
no doubt.
The Great Debaters.
Remember
that
great
one?
Great Debaters.
I only know that because Oprah introduced it that way. Remember you have that drop? The Great Debaters.
Yes. I forgot about that.
Jeez, I got to tell you, going even past that is pretty weak.
There is one common thread throughout all of his movies, too, and this Joey noticed that he's always being screwed over by somebody, is Denzel's theme.
Yeah.
So it's always in a movie where he's being screwed over by.
Yeah.
Can you run down some flicks so I can think about that concept? Because I think Joey's onto something there.
Sure. The Manchurian Candidate.
He's being screwed over by the government.
Yeah.
Man on Fire. I don't know what that is. Antoine Fisher.
Yeah, Man on Fire. He's the cop that's trying to...
The Mexican cartel.
Yes.
Yes.
John Q.
He's being screwed over by the hospital.
Yes.
Training Day. Ooh.
He's the
He's the screwer over in that one.
Hurricane.
Oh. Reuben King.
Oh, Hurricane. Yeah, he's being screwed over by the system. They find him guilty of a murder he didn't commit.
Remember the Titans?
Oh, he was being screwed. I just watched
by the white people. White people don't trust him.
Southerners who read, yeah, they're like, "Who? What are you doing here?"
Malcolm X.
Well, you know, that's obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's
kind of like Matt Damon, always trying to be brilliant in movies.
Yeah,
he's always play a role where he's brilliant.
Yeah.
Philadelphia. Tom
Hanks. He's being screwed over by AIDS.
Yes. His client has AIDS.
You know, AIDS screws so many people over.
Nice.
Philadelphia.
Knock it off, AIDS.
Stop it, AIDS.
Hey, AIDS, cut it out.
Bullshit.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good theory, right?
I like it.
Tom Hanks is always peeing in movies. Matt Damon's always playing someone brilliant.
He's got a new movie
Denzel's
coming out.
Getting screwed.
Oh, I saw Fences. Bourne, too. Yeah.
We saw what?
Bourne.
Bourne.
The latest
Bourne.
Bourne
was good.
Oh.
Yeah, Bourne
all
good.
Bourne movies are good.
Very
okay?
action-packed, yeah.
Yeah. No, agree.
Although the one I saw this once online, the criticism about the Jason Bourne movies was, why doesn't he just Google himself?
It's true.
Kind of a good point.
The money scene there, it was the one where the SWAT truck, you know, like the bad guy was getting away in the SWAT truck.
Yes.
And Matt Damon was chasing him in a Dodge Charger.
Yeah.
And the SWAT truck was just like, it was just like running through cars like there were dominoes just flying.
That was very cool.
And I had to sit there and wonder, can that really happen?
Could they really survive
that? Because they are a SWAT truck, you know, fortified.
I'm inclined to say it was a bit exaggerated, maybe a little bit. But it was cool as hell.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
That reminds me, just the whole idea of these plot lines. The case of what's the one's name who got the hung jury? She wanted to kill her husband.
Oh, Dahlia DiPolito.
Yeah. Did you happen to see the Nancy Grace debate this morning?
I was telling Trudy about it. Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant. I thought she was so dead on that.
Nancy Grace.
Well,
I thought she was clueless in the argument. What part are you talking about?
Talking about where the woman claimed in the original trial that it was a reality TV show.
That's what pissed me off.
And then when they said he's dead, instead of going, well, now you know we all know what's up, that he's not really dead. So you know, and then hug and everything's cool. But instead, she's crying her eyes out like.
She had to act, though, for the reality show. But my problem with Nancy Grace bringing that up is that had nothing to do with this most recent trial.
But the fact that they changed the defense, they go from this reality TV show to they're bad cops,
it was a terrible
investigation, that's absurd.
Well, that's what pissed me off.
How can you have an entirely new defense? That's bullshit.
Well, that's what pissed me off anyway, though, is everybody can just blame police departments now, and apparently a jury's just going to buy it.
She confessed. She, on videotape, she...
Oh, I know.
Arranged
no,
for
right. That confession hasn't gone away. It's still there on videotape.
And she did all the things that he told her to do, you know, went to the gym, stayed away, and then came back at an appointed time. She did everything
Nancy
according to
instruction. Nancy did bring up the other good point, too. She did try to poison him before.
Yes.
Yeah.
But none of that matters now? It's preposterous. I don't see how you can have someone, okay, I know, I understand a different legal team and all that, but... But she is in charge of her own defense, and when she tells them, they said they were making a reality TV show, and then all of a sudden, the next one, there's nothing about a reality TV show, and it's all about bad cops. It's like,
well, that's what I don't understand. Is why can't you introduce that? Why can't
Can't the jury know that, oh, by the way, last time we tried this case when she lost, she said it was a reality TV show.
Can't even talk about
why,
that.
Why can't they do that? And by the way, she won because she's hot.
Oh, and because she has a little baby now, too. So, oh, you got a baby? Let her go home and take care of a baby.
That was really funny, though, on GMA this morning when Nancy Grace is going off. It's like, how does she get knocked up when she's on house arrest with her mother in the house? And was it Dan Harris? It's just like, well, Nancy, teenagers get pregnant all the time.
I know. It was well done.
Well, he's really good on that show. He's kind of a weenie, but I like him. Dan Harris.
Is that Dan Harris?
Is that his name? What's his name? No. Dan Abrams.
You guys
Dan
can
Abrams,
never remember his name,
Dan
by the way.
Dan Harris does the weekend GMA.
Yeah, he's
the
kind
host.
Of a puss.
He's good, too.
He's a total puss. Hates sports.
I know. He's
kind of different. It may have made the difference, but what is really burning me up is to attack
the
police
behind me.
Because they tell her after they stage a death scene that he's dead, and instead of her saying, what, they kill my husband? This was a reality script. How could they kill my husband? No, she never even says, what happened? He's dead? And then, once, if you look at those tapes, when they arrest her, when they bring her in, does she say, this was a reality show
script? But that
script.
Wasn't her defense
tell
this time,
Michael.
Nancy. That wasn't her defense this time around.
What
it wasn't a reality show.
Yeah, this time around, of course.
What I am saying is, look at the videos. And also, not once did it come up about allegations that she tried to poison him at an earlier date with a Starbucks chai tea. Not only that, if you look at the documents, the police documents where they tapped her phone and looked at her texts, she is still contacting her hooker clients, trying to set up dates up to July before this happens.
July.
All she wanted was his money and his townhouse and him dead. And now somehow it's the police.
That's right.
Fault.
She doesn't point this out, but remember the husband signed over the townhouse? Or remember there's a weird townhouse thing?
Yeah, well, life insurance clause.
Why did he sign it over? Why did he sign it over?
I forgot exactly. That was on the big 2020 piece when this originally came out.
She talked him into it and used sex to make it work.
Well, she was a whore.
Yeah. She's a hooker.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that was their first date. Was he bought her? Yeah, and he married her. Well, hooker with a heart of gold. What do you know? Just like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
Yeah, sleep with one eye open.
Isn't that romantic?
It is very.
Oh, sweet.
Blowing?
Did they blow it? I think they're going to do it differently the next time around, right? I think they're going to end up.
What's the new defense going
to
be?
Trying to undermine the credibility of the informant. More than they did this time around, right? Don't you agree, Nancy, that
Dan,
they basically didn't realize?
I got a question for you, Dan.
Yes, and Nancy.
Talking about a criminal head scratcher, this girl is on house arrest. How did she jump up and get pregnant on house arrest with her mother, and then she uses her baby as a defense at trial? Let her go home to her baby and her family. What?
I'm not going to explain to you how she could get pregnant while on house arrest. It happens with teens in homes all the time. That's a separate question.
She's only supposed to get out to go to church, people.
Yeah. I do think, though, that as a legal matter, what is going to be critical in this next case is undermining the, because you have this witness who comes forward, who was the informant, right? Who basically says the police were pressuring me.
Two.
I didn't want to do this.
She has a good point here.
You pressure every confidential informant. What criminal or confidential informant wants to be part of a police investigation? Nobody. Nobody wants to snitch. They're afraid they'll find out. But it's not just the ex-lover. It's the cop, too. She told both of them that. Both of them. There's no doubt about it. But if you look at her behavior, it's what I always come back to, is how she acted at the time of her arrest. To me, that tells it all.
And we will be back in January. Thank you, guys.
Oh, shut up, George.
January. All right. We got Today in Rock and much more coming up in part two, but we are hitting the hour mark. So let's actually do two parts today for a change.
I have a story on pubes.
I always do.
You want a story on pubes?
Always love a pube story.
All right.
Also in part two coming up. So, and Trudy should have digested all that food by the time part two starts. So.
And take a dump.
Who knows? Trudy, courtesy. Yeah, that could happen too.
No.
Courtesy.
She's going to go pee outside.
Damn.
Yes. Trudy, courtesy of 94.7 WCSX. Listen to Trudy and Jim in the morning, tomorrow morning, from 6 to 10. Yeah. You are tomorrow morning, correct?
Oh, yeah. Tom Petty tickets, man.
Whoa. Where's Tom Petty playing?
He's a long time away, but in July, DTE.
In July.
July.
Oh, no, you can't say that without our good friend, a dear friend.
Yeah. He's got Peter Wolf with him, but he's got Joe Walsh on part of that, too.
Really?
That's going to be a barn burner.
Did you get an interview?
Not yet. Huh? No, yeah.
Trying?
Yes. Trying.
All right. Enjoy Trudy on WCSX 94.7, 6 to 10, and in part two coming up.